We started into the 21st chapter last week. As we've been studying this for such a long time, it still shows us in this period of time that we are in right now, we're starting into a new subject in this 21st chapter. This is the time period on down after the rapture and after the tribulation, after the judgment, after the battle of Armageddon, and after the 1,000 years reign. This is when the earth has been completed, redemption is finished, all of the earth is perfect once more. God's reclaimed earth for his people and the redeemed people that inherit this new earth and new heaven. It is about this time. If you want to compare it to times we're living in right now, we are living in the time just prior to the rapture of the church. I know that many of you have been watching the news and seeing all of the strange things that are happening in this world. Sometimes it's almost impossible to believe, isn't it? The turmoil in the world is certainly bad enough, and the perplexities and the fighting, all that is going on in this world, natural and in people's lives. In this past year, it has been brought into religions more than ever. They are fighting and clawing and hating one another and lying about each other or bringing out things that they hope and think will hurt and destroy someone else. This isn't just other countries we're talking about. This is right here in America. All of this in the name of religion. I'm glad we didn't name this church a Pentecostal church. It used to be because that same phenomena, the same outpouring of the Holy Spirit that took place on that day called Pentecost, and when it began to happen again in 1900, the people were called Pentecostals because of the same experience. But the word became, as the word Christian had become long before that, the word became just a word with no meaning behind it. The word Christian is Christ-like, as we know. Well, most of the Christian world is not like Christ. And Pentecostal was to denote the power and the fire and the same experience the New Testament church had. They are not that way anymore. So I'm glad God gave us the Apostolic Assembly, although a name still doesn't make any difference. I'm just glad we don't have anything to do with any of this, and more than ever before we won't have. Do you have any idea what that's building up to in this world according to prophecies? To stop the fighting, stop the hate, stop the wars, people are going to have religion. They will force and bring about one world religion. But by the time they finish with all this mess, the way they're doing it now worldwide, most of the people are willing and ready to have one world religion that's controlled. And you have to be that so there's no fighting, no division, and no wars. But I'll tell you, the one people that will not be part of that one world Trinity religion, because they'll all have to be one, is the people called by Jesus' name that believe in one God and filled with His Spirit. They will never be part of that one world religion. Well, let's go on into chapter 21. Last week we saw John, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. We studied this, we know that the actual earth itself was not destroyed, and the actual heavens itself was not destroyed. We could compare this, the condition on the earth, and what is coming so quickly on the earth, and the time during and after the seven last plagues and the Battle of Armageddon, and compare it to this time we're seeing that John is seeing here in verse 1. The imagination that we can use and to see the purity that will come out of that 1,000 years rule by Jesus Christ personally. We see the reconstruction and we see the two scenes, what they must have looked like as John saw these. Then we will know and we can see what John is saying. The question I asked you last week is, what about, it says there will be no more seas. There was no more sea. If you take into consideration what you have already learned and remembering the scriptures that you've learned on this portion, does anyone have an answer to what this is saying, that the new heaven and new earth and there is no more sea, does that mean no more waters in this world? What is it saying here according to other scriptures, not just what you think, but where you can back it up with what you've already learned or with scriptures? It is because it's been returned to the original state, to what it was in Genesis. This is what he's been doing all along. We see how he did this. Does anyone remember the scriptures? How this comes about? We have several chapters and several verses in Revelation that show that it is during the judgment period when he's bringing about so many of these things. They are brought about for a purpose, which to me, this makes God so much more close and a personal God, because all of the judgments that he brings out in tribulation and during the judgment period, the plagues, those seven last plagues especially, they were not just thrown out there because he was angry, but they are for redemption purposes and for reclaiming the earth. He used it to cleanse the world of sin at the same time. It's just exactly like the world is today. All the things he put here in the natural was not just, it didn't just evolve here and we all of a sudden walked out of the sea and then we changed a little bit more. It actually was put here exactly like it is today in the form that as we know it for us. And it was laid out in every part of it, from the seasons to man and woman and children being born. It was all laid out for a purpose, that we could begin to grow and come to the point that we could be the first born in this old world to follow after God, be made in his image. Therefore, because of him, we can be purified and rule and reign with him in worlds to come, as he says. So it's all done for a purpose. Let's go to look through this clearly as in Genesis. Let's go back for a minute and see how this took place, what it was like when God created it for man and woman, when he created it for Adam and Eve, and he told them to go and repopulate the world. This repopulation was not other human beings. There is no missing link, but it was for the first time to repopulate it with mankind. Before, it had been populated by Lucifer and his angels and by beings that the scientists have found, but no mankind and no missing link. He created it from verse 2 when he recreated this world. We find how he did it here reading in chapter 1 and reading from verse 2. This is the recreation of the world for mankind. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day. The darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now verse 6 and 7 is what we're dealing with here. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. I want you to note carefully here. Let it divide waters from waters, not the land from the waters. He did not divide the land from the waters. He divided the waters from the waters, first of all. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. What is he saying here? Because it is an exact wording. Most people just read all this carelessly and they think, okay, that's where the earth is, the oceans, and he put the land masses here and the oceans he put here. That's not what he is even saying here. He's not separating out and saying, the oceans and seas be over here and land's going to be here. What is this word firmament? It's simply a space, atmosphere. So first of all, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. So here we find waters. The waters are here first, not here on this earth, just in the atmosphere. He said, let there be a firmament, an atmosphere in the middle of this water, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So now we see waters here, and he divides in this atmosphere the waters, simply as he said, he divided it. half water up here, firmament or atmosphere or space in between, and waters down here. Then he said, let it divide these waters from waters. And then God made the firmament. He divided the waters. And we had atmosphere in here. Then he divided the waters which were under the firmament. Now we get down to the earth. From the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. This is firmament, heaven, space, atmosphere, all one word interchanged. So under the heavens, under the firmament, let all this be gathered in one place. And then here comes the dry land. Land is not firmament. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth. Have you ever really looked into that? See how different that is than most people think? Totally different. Let the dry land be called earth, and the gathering together of the waters, where he separated them, underneath the firmament, be called the seas. And God saw that it was good. This is the way it happened. If we look at this word I reminded you of last week, I think, that the word seas in the scripture in both the Hebrew and the Greek are used of bodies of waters. Doesn't matter whether large or small. Seas are just bodies of waters. We see that God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. Bodies of waters and earth. This is the earth as he recreated it perfect for man and woman, for mankind. This is how it was done for us to begin with. Now we go back to Revelations. We'll come back over here later, but let's go back to Revelation, this first verse. What John's seeing when it's all finished, when it's finally been returned back, as someone said, to the perfect state for mankind. To be returned back to this perfection, it's returned back to what we just read in Genesis. From what we just read in Genesis, you're going to have to use your mind and think about this for a minute. What difference do you see in what he said? He says he has such perfect use of language, doesn't he? Such exact use. We pick and choose and try to find words and we can't, but God's is exactly what he means. He said he divided the firmaments above from the firmaments below. And then he said, let there be land, and he called the land earth, and the seas divided that was below the heavens. Picture this in your mind of what he has just done. John is seeing it back like this. This is what John's seeing here in verse 1. It's back again, exactly the same. It says, there's no more seas. Here we have no more water. Is that what he's saying? There's no more bodies of waters. Is that what he is saying? What is the difference in when you see it right now, you know, the way it is now, and what you're seeing back here in Genesis? What is the difference? Keep it in mind what I just reminded you of. What is the big difference? I said, now think. God uses these words exact when he divided the firmaments and the water from the water. What's he saying? That's true. That's what gets it back in its original, the earthquakes. There were seas here before the flood. What does the word he divided, separated? He said, let them be divided. What would you think if you divided an apple in half? What would you get? Two halves, wouldn't you? You would get half of the waters up in the heavens. That's what was reserved for the flood. You would get half of the waters down here. Before the flood, before sin and before the flood, with only half of those waters down here, what kind of a land mass would you have? The scriptures is what I want. There's a number of them building up to this. He divided. Isn't that simple language? If I gave you an apple and said, divide this in half, what would you do? You'd cut it right down the middle, wouldn't you? Okay, we're at this point. Above in the atmosphere, there's half of the waters at that time. And again, back here, what John is seeing, Half of the waters are in the atmosphere and only half are left back down here below. So we see why John says it's not all this water again. You look at the earth, a globe right now. How much of it is water and how much of it is land now? Let's watch this. I want to go ahead with it. Now keep your mind on what we're doing. See, that's what I'm trying to do, make you use your own mind and not be a partaker. I don't want to just, you know, lecture you. I want you to be a partaker, which means you got to stir your mind up, think of what's happening. This way you learn to use your mind and renew your mind. The land will be certainly more evenly divided at this time, what John's seeing. We've already said this. It's doing away with all the barren land that we have now, and it makes every spot on earth as the Garden of Eden perfect. We've already got to this point. It's how it gets there and what we've got, what John's seeing. We know that this comes as a result of all of these earthquakes, especially these mighty earthquakes that are so frequently mentioned in prophecies concerning the last days, and even more specifically, the very last great mighty earthquake. Again, verse 1 is like we read up here in verse 11, where he said the earth and the heavens are not there. There's no place for them in this judgment. John is doing this in retrospect. He is summing things up as actually what it is. He had seen the world as it is today, all right, and as it has been. He'd seen the destruction of the tribulation, the earthquakes, he'd seen the falling stars, he'd seen all the fires come from the seven last plagues, seen the great hails, he'd seen all the walls of the entire world at one time or another come and fall down during this tribulation and judgment. He had seen the mountains moved into the sea. He'd seen all this because, remember, he, at his time of life, there on that Isle of Patmos, was taken ahead, and he was shown from the time of the rapture. Remember where we're starting here in Revelation. We built all the way up to this to you, almost to the end. He was shown from the time of the rapture. So he had seen all of this. He had seen as that earthquake, we'll read it in Revelations, the last one that even brought all the mountains down into the sea, moving them. And of course, when this happens, it's like if you pour dirt in a hole that's got water in it, you have more land. You see whole new continents come into view. He's seen this. He had seen the surplus waters that are on this earth now. He'd seen them disappear. All of this as it was passed away, and he saw all of it become new. So there's no more seas or these large oceans like we have it today separating land from land. So maybe you had the right idea on this part of it. If you remember, regeneration is restoring to the original, isn't it? The earth is being restored back to its original. Here he's seeing the completed job at the end of the thousand years reign after Satan has been once and for all cast away and the earth is finished, cleansed, perfected. He's restoring it back to before the flood. Remember again, keeping in mind the word for seas in both Hebrew and Greek can be used of bodies of water, large or small. So we have to take the context of this verse 1 or the meaning of it. It comes from the context of where we are here. We know from all the other scriptures that build up to this, we know that the earth is restored back to what it was. So how do we know what it used to be like so we can figure out? We go back to Genesis as we have just done. The original seas, how much space did they take up? Certainly not nearly as much as we have right now. They could have been large enough for whales and still not been larger than the Mediterranean Sea. There was no great oceans. All land masses touched each other. You can look at a world map or look at a globe or lay it out flat, and you can see scientists say, well, at some time or another, it drifted away. This part drifted away. It fits right back in here. At the flood, it just didn't go back down again. So it covered a lot of the area. On the other hand, it could have been different numbers of seas, small or large. It didn't have to be just one area. It could have been a number of smaller ones, all connected, as we can almost see in the world maps and globes right now. The whole new continents that will rise in these oceans will still leave plenty of bodies of water. But from what John is seeing all this building up to, there's going to be no more seas as we know them today, just as this earth is no more as we know it now. Just like it was said after the flood, the earth was destroyed by a flood. Wasn't the earth itself gone, destroyed? Everything on it was destroyed, and that brought the change. When John saw these changes and he saw building up in his prophecies in this book of Revelation, he saw the time era. He was taken to look ahead, and he was allowed to see ahead from the rapture of the church until this very end where we are right now. What he sees here in verse 1 was the seas of Genesis rather than the great oceans of our present time. A great, great, great big difference. What does this show us? If then there was less water at the first or at the beginning, the creation before the floods, and much more dry land, where was this extra water? Someone answered that already. Where was it? In the atmosphere, above the firmament. It's true. If the world stayed tilted, the water would come back down. We forget gravitation, we forget the poles. I don't know a lot about scientists except what I learned in school. I just know it from the Bible. But scientists, of course, and from school teach this too. Let's go on. So the question is, where was this water? We know it's in the atmosphere. Genesis, again, this part that we just read, verse 6 and 10, says the firmament called heaven or atmosphere is the sky, as we look up and say, oh, the sky, the atmosphere, is above this earth. Now, this firmament, this sky, was in the midst of waters so that it divided waters from waters. Genesis then says it's about equal. It was divided. A great deal of water above in the sky, in the firmament there. This water that was above the sky was not upon the earth in the beginning, before the flood. Was not. It never rained either. Instead of being as now, there's 3/4 water and 1/4 land. Not a lot, is there? The earth was probably a great deal, at least half more land then than water, all connected, even probably the remote islands of the sea that we see them now. That's the reason when it mentions that great earthquake, it brings this out. So we have great changes that have taken place since those days in Genesis of recreation. No, they went up, but they're not there now. So what happened? How did they get to the earth? That's what tilted the earth when they fell. When did they come down? During the flood. That's why there's no such waters now. The water at that height, it's up in the sky, it's separated, would be just about transparent. The sun, the moon, the stars certainly could be seen because that was absolute pure water. Absolutely pure water. Nothing in it. It makes it transparent. Scientists think, the scriptures don't say it could be, but scientists think that this water was probably a ring somewhat like the rings around Saturn, only much, much wider. Life on Earth would be so very different with that water in the sky between us and our sun and our moon. Think of what this world would be like. How many have been to Hawaii? You know how you can step out of that airplane and the air just feels good, doesn't it? You want to start taking off sweaters and everything because it feels good on your skin. It just, you can go over there and all of a sudden your skin looks nice, your hair looks nice, you can breathe good, and it's just different. And that's not even paradise, even though they call it that. The entire earth was like that. You can imagine with the water around it. It was there for a purpose. We know that even now life would be absolutely impossible without the layer of those strong gases that sift out certain lethal rays of the sun. I think they call them the ozone layers. Without those, we couldn't live here. But imagine no sunburn, Imagine what it will be like, the perfection with water there as it was then. God made it perfect to begin with. You wouldn't have sunburned. The water would sift out probably rays that we don't even know about, possibly all of those rays which allow decay, fermentation, spoilage of all kinds. Waters would sift out all of those rays. Think about it. Now they're going to be back there. The temperatures would be even and very soft, just perfect for mankind because he made it that way. He made it for us. He created us with even body temperatures, so he created the earth perfect for us, not like it is now. Thinking of this, the temperatures will be even and certainly very soft. It's going to be perfect. The entire earth will be a paradise. But it'll really be a paradise, not man-made paradise, but what God that created man created for him. It's going to be back there. This is what John saw in this first verse. This seems to have been the condition of the world before the flood. It's how he created it. That's why the waters were there. And of course, they were reserved in judgment, and they came tumbling down. The flood waters, I was going to ask you, but we've already went through that. Where did they come from? They were not rain clouds because they never had rain before the flood. There was no rain, no clouds before the flood. There didn't need to be. There wasn't, for one thing, there wasn't the mountains that changed the atmosphere so much. The waters up there were reserved for this great flood. Genesis, the 7th chapter, let's go back here for just a minute, and verse 10 and 11, this is the flood. It came to pass after 7 days, this was after they went inside the ark and God closed the door. After 7 days, the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Just the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, he was 600 years old. Why not? It was a perfect condition. Absolutely perfect. In the second month, 17th day of the month, it was that same day where all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows, floodgates, the windows of heavens, the atmosphere, the sky, were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Took that long for it to get back down here, all of it. He pulled the plug and it all came back down, or all came onto this earth. This shows us where the waters came from when these windows of heaven, the skies, the atmosphere broke up, and God sent it all down here as judgment, washed everything away. These waters that came down at the flood did not return as such. They didn't go back up after the flood. So what happened? They had to rush to the poles, didn't they? From what we see today, they had to rush to the poles. What a big, big change. Much remained so that great large amounts of land never appeared again after the flood, never appeared again. They won't appear as long as the surplus of water stays on this ground. Job brings it out again, and he's not talking about Genesis, he's talking about the flood. God brings it out to Job. Here in Job, the 38th chapter, he's talking about the time of the flood. He's not talking about Genesis, and I'm going to ask you, how do we know this when we read this verse? So you better read it with your mind on go. Job 38, and reading from verse 8. God is questioning Job out of the whirlwind. Who do you think you are? I created you. You didn't do any of it, because of Job's kind of, how come this happening to me? Verse 8, he says, do you know, were you there? Who was it that shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth? When it broke forth, who is it that shut it up as if it had issued out of the womb? Question. When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness as a swaddling band for it, and I broke up for it my decreed place and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Now, how do we know he's not talking about Genesis? What did you see in this that we've just talked about that shows it could not possibly be Genesis? There's about 3 or 4 or 5 words he's using in this. You see the word clouds, and there was no clouds. So here's clouds. So we see that he had to shut it up because it had broke forth, so he had to make new boundaries for it. Anyone else, anything they see in this? Let's read it over once more and show how clearly this is the flood. Who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth? We know this. There would have been no waves, for one thing. So, who shut up the sea when it broke forth? See, it did break forth, came down, as if it had issued out of the womb. When I made the cloud the garment thereof. We have evaporation now, and the evaporation becomes clouds. The mountaintop draw the clouds, and he made the clouds like the garment that held all of this water, so we don't get it all back at one time. He took enough of it, goes up in evaporation. And thick darkness as swaddling band for it. What happens 6 months out of the year at the poles? Darkness. Darkness. He made it like this at the time of the flood. He broke up for it the decreed place. See, the way he made to begin with was he divided half here, half down there. It was all set. Here, he broke it up from his decreed place, and he had to set bars and doors, or he holds it by gravitation now, the earth tilted this way. Hitherto, he said to the waters, you can come this far, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves, now we have waves, be stayed. Here's another scripture that shows us the same thing. Always there's more scripture to bear witness, not just saying it. We can say anything, but without scripture to back it up, that's all you are doing. Even if you know it because you've heard it before, you need to know the scriptures so that you can say, here's the scripture that says what I'm saying. Not just, well, Alice said this, because I don't like Alice said. I want it the scriptures say. You know it for yourself. The scriptures say. So it's not at the creation times. There's no clouds and so forth. Only dew that came up from the ground before the flood. The great mountain ranges that we have now have probably all been raised up since this period at the flood. We have scriptures showing revelations in the 6th chapter, getting back to what brings this all about, the earthquakes. Revelation 6:14, if you look at your chart or you know your time area, this is where John sees this happening. From heaven's point of view, this is in the period, the 6th chapter is in the heaven period, Revelation 6 and verse 14. Here's where it's coming back in these last plagues. It's coming back to the original state. This is towards the end. The heavens departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now, this is from the heaven's point of view. This shows us the change, why John sees it as he's seeing it in Revelation 21:1. We have in Revelation 16th chapter from the earth's point of view, same thing, same happening, same time. Just this is what it looks like from the earth. Revelation 16, let's read from verse 17. This is the finishing time, the same thing happening. Says the seventh angel, this is the last of the plagues, poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. In the heaven portion over here, John didn't see the earthquake because he was on the earth. He didn't feel it, let's put it. He saw the results of it. He just didn't feel it. This is from the earth's point of view, so it shows the earthquake. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into 3 parts. The cities of the nation fell. Great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Here it is back like it was before they became islands. Back perfect before the mountains reached up to bring the clouds down. There fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Here we see in these verses why these facts. The mountains will move into the sea as a result of this final great earthquake. God is simply restoring the earth to the perfect original form. Real simple, isn't it? Just restoring it back to perfection for those that will follow Him. To be ready for His people that come from the time that we have read this earth and the new heavens He saw. Getting it ready for those people that have followed Him all through the ages to the best of the dispensation they lived in. Through the rapture, through the early church, through the rapture, through tribulation, through that last great white throne judgment. God is getting this earth and the heavens ready. To be no sin, no scars of sin left, no death, no sorrow, no pain, no sickness. The perfect, perfect, perfect world. He created and put mankind in and said, you can have everything in it. Just this one thing, don't do. Don't disobey. Now that's simple, isn't it? Very simple. So it will be back again. The very fact that the fires and the heat of the seven last plagues would melt all the ice at the poles. Sure it would. All that heat that comes with those seven last plagues, it would also cause a great deal of it to evaporate, drawing it back up into the skies. So that's how it gets there. Only this time God keeps it there and takes away the clouds because it's once more back to what He intended. Then we would have again the waters above the firmament and the waters below the firmament. The waters below the firmament would be in seas rather than great oceans. This would restore the earth and heavens to the original state. John said here in the 21st chapter, and I saw, as it were, a new heaven. It had become new, and an earth that became as new, for the first heaven and the first were passed away. They're finished with, it's completed, and there was no more sea. One great sea, land masses that are separated by seas as we have it today. Any questions on this part? Verse 1. I think it all works together. One of the main things is it's all working together and He finishes it all up. The fires, the heat, the tremendous, as we've already studied, the tremendous heat from the fires He sends down causes all this evaporation, the melting of the poles and everything. So that's going to change the tilt of the earth. The earthquakes finishes making it out perfect like it's supposed to be. Each step, there's a purpose for it. Each step brings it a step closer to completion of redemption. Each step makes it more perfect, even taken right on into the 1,000 years reign. That wasn't just, oh, we'll throw in 1,000 years before we actually go into heaven. It is to actually make this earth, as we read before, they're forced because He withholds any rain upon the earth. They're forced. They don't have any water. They're forced to come and worship in Jerusalem. The 1,000 years, everything is just perfect. The rest of this chapter is in two parts. It is showing the new heaven, and it's showing the new earth. It mainly centers on the new heavens. It mainly centers on the new Jerusalem. That's the important part of the topic. That will be the home of the bride, and the home of the bride only. You study that for yourself this next week. Be ready for questions and have some scriptural answers. Is there anything else you question or you had as we close this tonight? God bless you.